All I said, Alan, is that, look, Mr. Delgado has a extensive history of the words that he used in his music that are extraordinarily controversial. There are many things that he said are offensive to women, offensive to law enforcement, that denigrate historic figures in our country, denigrate the free enterprise system. And I said, you want to run for Congress, you should explain these things. And had the shoe been on the other foot, Alan, I would have been taken to task and run out of town on a rail if I had said such things. So the fact is there's a real double standard here. Mr. Delgado's response and the response of some others has to say, oh, this is racism that you are bringing this up. It is not. It is not a critique of rap music, which frankly is something that is listened to by millions of people. It's an established art form in our country. I have no trouble with that. I do have trouble with a candidate who just moves into the district. A week after he buys a house in the district, he starts running for Congress. He has no business or professional or civic engagement in this district or history in this district. So we should know about what he really thinks. Are the words that he expressed in his lyrics, are those the things that he really thinks? Does he really think that derogatory comments towards women and police is appropriate? And if that is where his mindset is, then the voters of this district have a right to know about it.
Is there any particular words or phrases that offend you?
Yeah, absolutely. But there aren't things that I would say on the air, frankly.
John, somebody was asking me about your election. They said, well, I like John. I've known him for a long time. And, you know, he's my guy. I always like to vote the man. But my response to that is, if you are fiercely anti-Trump and you think Trump is a danger to the democracy and the House of Representatives hasn't actually distinguished itself under the Republicans, you know, putting Trump in perspective, you know, your seat may be the difference. And even though you are leading in the polls right now, your seat may be the difference between whether the Republicans or the Democrats hold the House and whether there might be an impeachment or anything else going on. So how do you answer that one?
I'd say people make their decision on who they vote for based on a whole lot of factors. Some of them may be logical factors, some of them may not be logical factors. All I can do as a candidate is to explain my record. I have an extraordinarily strong bipartisan record in the House. I rank, in fact, in the top 5% of members of the House working with the other party to try to get things done. I rank number 18 out of 435, according to the bipartisan Lugar Center on bipartisanship. So I think what people really want in this district, and I think across America, is they don't want a lot of rhetoric and they don't want a lot of talking heads that you see on the various cable channels. They want people to go to Congress to get things done, and that's really what motivates me. So I would argue to any voter out there, be they Democrat, Republican, Independent, or whatever, I would say, look, I'm someone that's worked across party lines. I've worked to do things like pass a right-to-try law, and we do have that now in law, where a terminally ill patient has the right to try medication that might prolong or extend their life or save their life. I've worked hard to bring about reforms in terms of the economy and reducing regulations. We have a booming economy. The upstate economy is doing much better today than it was before I took office. And so a lot of the things that we did contributed to that. And so those are the things that I would argue.
Now, what about my point about Trump, though? Many people in this state really are horrified about what this president is doing. I'm one of them. And the question is, obviously, you know, you have to lay out your position where Trump is concerned, whether or not you think he's doing a good job or not. What do you say to that?
Well, I think, what I said when I ran is that regardless of who got elected, I'd support them when I agreed with them, and I would not support them when I didn't. And that's exactly what I'm doing with President Trump. I supported much of the regulatory changes that we've rolled back, a lot of onerous and difficult regulations that were impeding our economy. I didn't support the tax bill because I was concerned as to the impact on the very quick accelerated capping of the state and local tax deduction. However, much of that tax bill I do support and is having a beneficial effect upon our district. I supported a health care reform, which I felt was going to get us fix some of the messes that the ACA created, but also the failure of the health care reform on the Republican side meant that I didn't stop. I've supported the Children's Health Insurance Program, a 10-year extension, fully extended. So the president, I think many of his actions are in terms of policies. I supported the nomination of Neil Gorsuch, and I certainly support Brett Kavanaugh, who is a judge who will interpret law and not try to make law. I disagree with the president on trade. I think the president has made a big mistake in terms of how he's approaching our allies and some of the rhetoric that is used, but is also creating a lot of collateral damage among the small business manufacturers in my district. So, you know, with any president, it's going to be a mixed bag. Certainly, you tend to be more supportive of a president of your party, and I think people would expect that. But I also very much disagree with the president on some of the things that he's said and how he said them. I didn't agree with how he handled the summit with Putin. But what I do in my representation is I call it as I see it.
And when we talk about the separation of families and things like that, isn't that enough to turn you off altogether?
Well, this issue has vexed administrations, not just the Trump administration, but also the Obama administration. In fact, there are clips of President Obama saying in 2013, don't send your children here because you're unaccompanied children. Don't come across the border with your children. This is a big problem, and it didn't start with Trump. I disagreed with their policy of separating these children at the border. But keep in mind, Alan, I disagreed with the policy of separating the children at the border. But the fact is that we're operating under law and federal court decisions that say that you can't hold an illegal immigrant and with their children for more than 20 days. So clearly, this is something that statutorily needs to be addressed. And I've been one of those Republicans that has been in the forefront of demanding action on immigration. We failed in the House, but I voted for a bill that would have fixed this separation of children at the border, but also dealt with the DACA issue and solved that problem, but also done some other border security and other immigration reforms, which I strongly support, because I do think that our country has to have operational control on the border. But we also, this is a larger issue. Most of the illegal immigrants coming into the country are coming from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras, not from Mexico. And there are serious political and other problems in those countries. And we should be working diplomatically and economically to try to help those countries address those issues and also create a stable system whereby guest workers can come in and out of the U.S. to work, which is what most of these migrants are seeking to do.
John Faso is Republican congressman from the 19th District. He's been in office since 2017. John, when we come back the next time, let's talk some more.
Thank you, Alan.